Good morning. In Providence, I'm Elizabeth Harrison. Newport rolled out the red carpet yesterday for Heather Abbott, the 38-year-old who lost her lower left leg in the Boston Marathon bombings. About 200 people attended a welcome home party at Rosecliff Mansion. They included Governor Lincoln Chafee, Congressman David Cicilline, and Attorney General Peter Kilmartin. He called Abbott a survivor, not a victim.
You are an inspiration. And you are someone that we all can turn to when we have a bad day and say, Heather's an inspiration for us. And if those down days come to you, just think of all your wonderful friends in this room and everybody who's behind you in this state and in this country.
Abbott gets around on crutches and in a wheelchair. She's still waiting for her prosthetic, but vows that she will walk again. Rhode Island's two teachers' unions are hosting a forum tonight to collect information to present to the State Board of Education. As Rhode Island Public Radio's Flo Jonick reports, teacher evaluations and State Education Commissioner Deborah Gist are expected to be targets for criticism.
Last week, two dozen business organizations endorsed State Education Commissioner Deborah Gist and urged the State Board of Education to renew her contract, which expires in late June. Some of the teachers under her command, however, do not share their enthusiasm. Frank Flynn, president of the Rhode Island Federation of Teachers and Health Professionals, calls her, quote, dictatorial, and says 85% of teachers surveyed lack confidence in her leadership.
We don't believe that she communicates well with people. There's no real communication and collaboration. We believe that many times she uses us as a checklist. I checked with the unions, but she's not looking for really meaningful feedback.
The teachers' unions are upset about the state's new teacher evaluation process, which determines such things as promotion, retention, and transfers. Flynn says the two unions are not yet prepared to call for Gist's termination, but may do so at some point in the future. Flo Jonick, Rhode Island Public Radio.
Rhode Island is awash in freshly minted college graduates today. Over the weekend, commencement ceremonies were held at eight institutions of higher education, including all three state colleges and universities. The largest of the ceremonies was at the University of Rhode Island, which conferred more than 3,200 degrees. Governor Lincoln Chafee addressed the graduates.
As you commence the next chapter of your lively experiment, let me bring the best wishes of Rhode Islanders to you on this happy occasion and wish you lives of prosperity, fulfillment in the years to come. Congratulations, 2013. Go get them.
The URI graduation ceremony was held indoors this year for security reasons. And Rhode Island's Health Department is encouraging baby boomers to get tested for hepatitis C. That's because adults born between 1945 and 1965 are five times more likely to contract hep C. State health officials estimate that 11,000 Rhode Islanders have the disease, though many have yet to show symptoms. Baby boomers are at risk because infection rates spiked in the 1970s and 80s before modern blood screening techniques were widely available. Hepatitis C is a chronic liver disease and it is treatable, can be identified with a simple blood test.
Perched on the Providence River between the Point Street Bridge and Davall Square, the windowless red brick Dynamo building is more a symbol of broken dreams and development overreach than a structure that could become a linchpin of a recovering economy. It was once slated to house a Rhode Island History Center called the Heritage Harbor Museum that would have showcased our state's proud immigrant and ethnic history. That plan crashed in a mix of hubris by former leaders of the Rhode Island Historical Society that outpaced the money needed to complete the project and a Baltimore-based urban developer that went bust in the recession. No other feasible plan has been advanced to nurture this building that was once a gateway to the Jewelry District. Every time some local college seeks to plant a new program in this old manufacturing area, the Dynamo building gets mentioned. It was once viewed as a venue for a joint nursing school to be run by the University of Rhode Island and Rhode Island College. That proposal collapsed in the General Assembly, and some civic leaders urged Brown University to expand its engineering program there, but the university decided to keep its engineering students on the ivied East Side campus. With its distinctive arch windows and sturdy brick walls, the Dynamo building is listed on the National Register of Historic Places. It is also one of the Providence Preservation Society's 10 most endangered buildings. Yet for all this historic glory, no one has come forward with a proposal that makes economic sense. and we can't eat prestige. Providence Mayor Angel Taveras and his economic team would like a mix of nonprofit uses, such as hospital and university-based development, and property tax-generating private sector projects. But the Dynamo building may present an obstacle to private financing because it's viewed as too expensive to renovate and has been open to the ravages of the weather since it was abandoned 4 years ago. There is a nonprofit use that would make great sense for this building and also establish another attraction to our state's historic tourism economy. That would be relocating Brown's now-closed Hafenreffer Museum of Anthropology from its site in Bristol to the Dynamo. The Hafenreffer holds a remarkable collection of more than 100,000 ethnographic and archaeological artifacts from the Americas, Asia, Africa, the Middle East, and Europe. The museum was originally built from the private collection of Rudolf Hafenreffer, a philanthropist whose family donated the collection to Brown after his death in 1954. But Brown closed the museum to the public in 2008 after university officials decided it was too expensive to renovate to meet the tough fire codes enacted after the station nightclub tragedy. Students and scholars still have access to the collection, but the public, not so much. The Bristol structure sits on more than 300 acres of pristine land that sweeps down to Mount Hope Bay, and it's one of the last swaths of undeveloped waterfront property in Bristol. This land is also historic and is sacred to Native American tribes. It was part of the Mount Hope Grant and is recognized as the headquarters of Metacom, the 17th century Wampanoag sachem called King Philip by the colonists. Moving the Hafenreffer Museum 17 miles to Providence would yield public access. It would fit splendidly in the Jewelry District, adjacent to such other historic tourist attractions as Benefit Street, the campuses of Brown and the Rhode Island School of Design, the RISD Museum, the Sheldon Street Church, the John Brown Mansion, the Stevens Hopkins House, the Aldrich House, and the Historical Society's Library. Such a move would allow Brown and Bristol town officials a chance at devising a permanent plan for preservation of the land overlooking Mount Hope Bay. State Representative Raymond Gallison of Bristol, who represents this area, says town residents want this scenic slice of the town's past kept as open space for the future. Perhaps scholars from nearby Roger Williams College, which has a noted historical preservation program, could help put together a preservation proposal. Brown spokeswoman Marissa Quinn says the university has over the years received inquiries about plans for the Bristol land. She also said that ideally Brown would like to move the collection closer to campus to support teaching and research more effectively and move it into a structure better suited to support these activities. Quinn also pointed to an obvious hurdle, saying the university would need to raise substantial funds to support such a move. There's no better time than the present for our state's only Ivy League university, Providence City Government, and Bristol Town Government to explore a plan to keep Rhode Island's storied tradition of reusing historic buildings intact. Is there a Brown alum or philanthropist out there who can do for our community in the 21st century what Rudolf Hafenreffer's family did in the 20th?